There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where you love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless. Where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where you love ran red, in my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where you love ran red, in my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground. Here I bow down. Here I bow down. Here, arms open wide. Here you see my life. Here I bow down. Here I bow down. Here my hope is found. Here on holy ground. Here I bow down. Here I bow down. Here, arms open wide. Right here, you save my life. Here I bow down. Here I bow. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where you love ran red, in my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where you love ran red, in my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
He is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, the one who broke down the great wall of enmity and gave. How gracious is my Redeemer King Jesus, the Son of the Highest. And what could I possibly give to you but the fragrance of my hallelujah, hallelujah. We lift our gaze.
gaze. We lift our gaze.
We lift our gaze.
You are high, Lord.
We lift our
gaze. Oh, you're high, you're high, you're high, Lord.
We lift our gaze. We lift our gaze.
You are high.
Beautiful song, beautiful words. We love you, Lord. Lord, this is a special week. Special week. You showed your love. You showed your love. You demonstrated your love. It's one thing for us to say we love somebody or to say we love something. But to demonstrate that love, and you demonstrated your love, that while we were yet sinners in the worst situation we could be, Christ died for us. We praise you for that. Lord, we praise you. We're going to praise you until you come back and get us. And we praise you for that. You're awesome. And we love you and we honor you. Especially this week, Lord, we honor you for all the things that you went through and all the things that you endured just for us, Lord. We praise you for that, Lord. Like the song said, you could have called 10,000 angels, a legion of angels, to take you off of that cross. You didn't even have to do that. You could have called one, but you went to the cross, you died on the cross, and you rose again for us, Lord, just for us. And we give you praise for it. Continue to move tonight. Bring everything back to my remembrance, the way I feel like that you've shared things with me. And Lord, may your spirit move tonight, Lord, just to continue to move in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. You can leave the lights down. I'm going to do something a little different. You can leave them. You can turn them back down if you want to. I just wanted to give like a little intimate setting tonight, and that's not really me, but I felt like I was supposed to do that yesterday, and then today it just hadn't left. So if you don't mind, you're not going to have to read your Bibles, okay, because I'm not going to read scriptures. I'm going to walk you through probably the last 4 days of Christ's life, and I just wanted to do that. Felt like I wanted to do that for this week coming up, for Good Friday, and then for our Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. See, we know the rest of the story. When they were walking us out, you know, Jesus tried and tried and tried to tell them, but they didn't understand. But I want to start when Jesus was being honored with a dinner, and Mary and Martha at Lazarus' house. And Mary broke the ointment, that precious ointment. They said it was a year's wage. There was another Mary that did the same thing, but Mary broke that ointment. She washed his feet with her hair. And every time I would read that, man, it just blew me away that she would humble herself and wash his feet with her hair and dried them with her hair and wiped the oil off with her hair. It's just a powerful story. And Jesus was trying to tell them that, you know, they were mad because they, you know, especially Judas, because he kept the bag. He was the treasurer. And Judas was mad because he said that could have been taken and sold for a lot of money and given to the poor. He didn't care about the poor. He cared about his pocket. And so Jesus tried to tell them that what she did was for his burial. And then Jesus made this statement. And I know every single year around Easter, I always use this because Jesus made this statement. He said, what she has done will be spoken of from now until I come back. It's in remembrance of him, and he honored her. And so that was a powerful thing that started out his week. But as we go on, then you see where Jesus tells Peter and John to go and prepare for the feast, you know, for the Passover. They're going to do the Last Supper. And so as they go, he tells them there's going to be a man there. He's going to have a glass of water. He said, follow him to the house. And when you get to the house, tell the man that that the master needs a place to do his Last Supper, or the Passover feast. And so that all happened. And it's crazy because everything that Jesus said, we know that. But everything he said down to the detail, he said the room is already going to be prepared. I never noticed that until this week. He said the room's already going to be prepared. Just tell him that the master needs it. And so they go to the Last Supper. And as they're doing the Last Supper, you remember Jesus starts telling them that the blood represents, you know, his blood, and that the body represented his body. And he was trying to explain to them that the Son of Man is going to be crucified. He said, I'm going to be put to death. You know, he kept telling them over and over and over, but they just could not understand it because they thought his kingdom was going to be on this earth. And then you remember he had to tell them that one was going to betray him. You know, he said, now this is his last couple of days to be alive. And he tells the disciples, he said, one of you are going to betray me. One of the 12, that was his 12 that he'd hung out with for 3 years. He said, one of you guys is going to betray me. And they all started asking the question just like we would. Lord, is it me? Is it me? I mean, surely not. Surely it's not me. And then your memory says, the one that I got my hand in the cup with, he said, that's the one that's going to do it. And it was Judas. And the Bible says, and I don't know if you ever noticed this or not, but it says that when Judas went out, Satan entered him. Satan entered him. That's a powerful statement. And I want to touch on this right quick. We always talk about how Christians cannot be possessed by the devil, but they can be oppressed. But let me tell you something. When a house has been swept and clean, the Bible says that when a house is swept and clean and empty, that demon can come back and he'll bring seven more wicked than himself. Y'all remember that? Well, catch this. It's been swept and it's been cleaned, but it's empty. There's a lot of people that are swept and clean, but they don't fill themselves up with the Word of God and with prayer and coming to church. And so they fall away and that demon comes back and brings seven more wicked. And this, I believe this is what happened to Judas. And then he betrayed Jesus. And Jesus is sitting there and he's telling them that. Judas walks out and then Peter starts talking to him and Peter's rebuking Jesus. And he said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. And Peter says, Lord, I'll go to prison for you. I'll die for you. And I believe with all of my heart, Peter believed it. I believe he really would do that. He wanted to do that. And Jesus looked at him and he calls him out. He said, get behind me, Satan. It wasn't that Peter was Satan, but Satan was trying to influence Peter and use Peter. And he can do the same to us. And Peter spoke out and he said, Lord, this is not going to happen. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He said, because I must do the work of the Father. But then he tells Peter that he's going to build his church on him. And if you notice this, man, there's some killer stuff in there. But he said, Peter, after you come back to me, he said, I've prayed that you would not fall into sin. But after you come back to me, help the brethren. Jesus knew he was going to fall into sin. And he's telling Peter, when you come back to me, you're going to fall away. You're going to deny me. You're going to do all these things. He told him, he said, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's like, there's no way. And so Jesus tried to tell him. He tried to talk to him. And so then, if you remember, he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he goes to pray, and he went there often to pray. But this time it was different. He took the disciples in, and he told them, he said, I want you guys to stay here and pray with me. He said, pray that you will not fall into sin. Pray that when you're tempted, that you'll be able to endure the temptation. And so Jesus goes off and he prays. And we've all seen the awesome movie, The Passion of Christ. And we see, and the Bible says that he sweated. His sweat was like drops of blood. He was in agony. Can you imagine the Son of God who had never sinned, who had only been good, only done good, getting ready. He knows what he's getting ready to go through. And he's praying and he's crying out to God. He said, look, if there's another way. He said, but not my will, but your will be done. And he goes back, and you know what happens? He sees the disciples, and what are they doing? They're sleeping. It says they were tired, they were weary. I'm going to preach on that word next week, but they were weary, they were tired. And he said he woke them up. The Bible says he woke them up, and he says, pray unless you're going to fall into temptation. Y'all know this is the truth, but when we're praying, we're less likely to fall into temptation. Well, we're not praying. We're playing. And he said, get up. And it, one of the gospel says that he goes back and he prays again. And as he prays, the same thing. He's telling the Lord, you know, not my will, but your will. He submitted to God's will. And that's a great example for us to submit to God's will. No matter what it costs us, no matter what we have to do, we need to submit to his will. And Jesus submitted to the will of the Father. And when he goes back, they're asleep again. Y'all, how many times have y'all thought, how in God's name could you do that, guys? Has anybody? I know I can't see you good. I thought that. I've been critical to the disciples. But then there's times I've looked back in my life and I've been sleeping, so to speak, when I should have been praying or should have been interceding for somebody or helping somebody. Y'all know what I'm saying? We all have been guilty. You know, I know I'm the first one I say I've been guilty of sleeping when I should have been doing something for the Lord. And I mean physically sometimes and spiritually sometimes. Amen? And Jesus, when he looks at them, he says, behold, those that have come to get me are here now. And they looked in the garden, and guess who comes up through there? It's Judas with all these soldiers. And the Bible says that Judas went up to Jesus, and as he went up to Jesus, he said, he calls him rabbi, master, teacher, and he goes to, he kisses him. And Jesus looks at Judas, and he says, Judas, do you betray me with a kiss? Can you imagine? I don't care how hard-hearted he was, and I know that Satan had entered him, but can you imagine? I can't imagine looking in Jesus' eyes. I cannot wait to just look in his eyes. But can you imagine looking at his eyes? He'd been crying. He'd been praying so hard. His eyes was probably swelled up. His just looked a mess. And he looked at him and said, you're going to betray me with a kiss? Golly, I can't even imagine how Judas felt. And there's one translation, I believe it's in Luke here. Jesus was telling them, when I send you out, you know, what to take. And he said something about swords. Have y'all ever noticed that where he said something about? He said, they told him he had two swords. So when they get ready to go out, they asked Jesus about the swords. And he said, two's fine. So they get out to the garden. And then when these people come to get Jesus, they go to take him. It says that Peter grabbed a sword. He grabbed one of those swords that they had. It says that Peter grabbed a sword and he jumps up and he goes to defend Jesus. I told you, I believe that Peter would have defended him to death. And he cuts Malcolm's servant's ear off. He whacks his ear off. It's probably just the grace of God he didn't cut his head off. And it says that Jesus reached down and grabbed the man's ear and put it right back on his head and healed him. And he looked at Peter, and one of the translations says, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. But just a couple verses earlier, he told him to bring the swords. So they were thinking worldly stuff, fighting. And Jesus was in a spiritual battle. He'd already give up the physical because he knew that he had to submit. He had to give his body and his life for ransom for us. Not for him, because he never sinned. He was a spotless lamb. And the Bible says that Jesus had told the disciples that all 12 of you are going to scatter. And none of them believed it. One of them even ran away naked. They pulled his clothes. He ran away naked. All of them ran away, but one of them followed him. Peter followed him. And they began to take Jesus to the high priest. And Peter followed him. When Peter got to like this little town area, little court square, they had made a fire there. And they brought Jesus before the Sanhedrin. They brought him before the high priest. And they're making all these accusations against him. And asked him, are you the son of God? Are you the son of God? And he told him, he said, you say so. Man, Jesus was smart. And they bring all these accusations. And finally they say, well, you just heard it yourself. We don't need to bring any more witnesses. They brought witnesses. And they're talking about how he was going to tear the temple down and all this stuff. And he did. He said that. All this stuff that he said was going to happen, happened. And so Jesus is there. And Peter's in this little inner court area. And Peter was a man. Now, I believe with all my heart, he was a fisherman. He was probably a burly man. And he's sitting in there. And this little girl, it says a damsel, comes up to him. And she says, I believe you was with Jesus. He said, no, not me. Uh-uh, wasn't me. And then just a little while later, it says he was warming himself by the fire, and someone else comes up to him and looks at him and says, hey, I know you was with him. You had to be with him. He said, no, it wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. And then just a little while later, a lady comes up. She says, I know you was with him because your speech betrays you. And the Bible says that Peter started cussing. He started cussing and said, I never knew him. I never knew this man. And listen to this. The Bible says that Jesus looked at Peter, made eye contact with Peter. And it says when Peter saw him, he remembered what Jesus had said. How when the cock, and he heard the rooster crow, when the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And it says that Peter went out. And wept and cried. Can you imagine how Peter felt? Because I'm telling you, Peter loved him. I thought about this a lot in my life. But this week especially. When I failed the Lord. And I have. How it hurts me and how I feel. It should hurt us when we fail the Lord. Amen. And Peter loved Jesus. Listen, guys, I know we love Jesus. But Peter walked with Jesus. He touched Jesus. He held Jesus. He saw Jesus raise the dead. He saw Jesus cast out devils. He saw Jesus go to funerals and stop the funeral and get the young man up out of the casket. He saw Lazarus raised from the dead. He saw blinded eyes open. He saw every single thing that Jesus said come to pass. And Jesus even told him, Peter, you're going to do this. Can you imagine how he felt? I know how I beat myself up sometimes. I'm my own worst enemy sometimes. I'm critical on myself, and sometimes that's a good thing. You need to be. You don't need to be lackadaisical about spiritual things. But can you imagine how Peter felt? He was heartbroken. I wrote down in my Bible, I don't know how many years ago, he was heartbroken. This is so sad. And then you got Judas on the other end who had betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And he goes out and he hangs himself. He had been with Jesus 3 years. He saw the same things Peter did. And he was so hurt. He tried to tell them, don't do it, don't do it. And they wouldn't listen. So he goes out and he hangs himself. Do you know that Judas was called the son of perdition? The word perdition means hell. He was called the son of hell. God already knew he was going to betray Jesus. Listen to this. Jesus knew he was going to betray him, and he still let him keep the money. He still let him be one of the 12. We don't understand the grace and mercy of Jesus. We don't. We love it, and I accept it. But the things that he did was just incredible. He loves us so much. And he loved Judas. But what you got to realize is all these things are scriptural. Every single thing, over 51 prophecies were being fulfilled. More than that, but at least 51 personal prophecies of Jesus were fulfilled. Every single one that was ever prophesied was fulfilled. His coming is going to be fulfilled. Somebody had that on there today, said something about all these things about Jesus. You know, he lived, he died, and he's coming. He did all that. He's coming back. And then Peter runs out. Jesus goes, and they bring him before Pilate. And Pilate talks to Jesus. He interrogates him. And as he's talking to him, he finds out that Jesus is harmless. He goes back out to the Sanhedrin and to all the crowd that a week earlier, 5 days earlier, was saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, help us, save us." Now they're saying, "Crucify him." And he tells me, he says, "Look, man, I've interrogated him. I know that you said he's causing problems and all this, but I find no fault in him." And they say, "Crucify him, crucify him." Well, when Pilate finds out that Jesus is from Galilee, he knows that Herod is in Jerusalem, in town, so he sends him to Herod. And all this time they'd been beating on Jesus and hitting on Jesus and making fun of Jesus and doing all kind of things like the scripture said they would do. And when they bring him before Herod, see, Herod was fascinated with Jesus. Herod wanted to meet Jesus because he wanted Jesus to do some kind of miracle in front of him because he had heard about all the miracles that Jesus done. So he wanted to meet Jesus. It had nothing to do with him being the Son of God. He just wanted to see him do a miracle. And when Jesus wouldn't even talk to him, he'd asked him questions. Jesus wouldn't even talk to him. He looks at him and said, "You going to bring this crazy man to me? Send him back." He hadn't done anything to give him, put a robe on him, made him look real pretty, made fun of him and everything, and sent him on his way back to Pilate. If you remember, Pilate's wife had a dream. And the Lord revealed to her some things. And she goes to her husband and she says, "Listen, don't hurt this man. Don't harm this man. Please don't do this." And he said, "Listen to the people. Listen to the people." And so he goes out and they bring Jesus back in front of him. And by this time, Jesus is beat up and everything. And he starts looking at him. He's like, "Why? You know, why have y'all done this to this man? I've done talked to him twice and I find nothing wrong with him. He's done nothing evil. He's done nothing to merit death." He said, "I'll have him beaten," or scourged is what they did. "I'll have him scourged and beaten. Maybe that'll satisfy you." And they said, "No, crucify him, crucify him." And then they go this far, the third time. This is what they say. "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Can you imagine? Can you imagine hating a man? Maybe a bad man, that bad. But a man that had never done anything wrong, only done good, only loved people, only healed people, only ministered to people. But because of their religion, that's what it was, is religion. These were religious people. These were not worldly, so-called worldly people. These were the Sanhedrin, the elders, the teachers of the law, the ones that are supposed to know the word of God. And even Jesus himself said, and you can go look it up in scripture, he said, "When I come, you won't even know me. You won't even recognize me for who I am." They didn't even know. They had the Son of God. Of all these prophets, they had the Son of God right in front of them. And they're yelling, "Crucify him." So he says, "I'll do this then." The Bible plainly says Pilate did not want to kill him. So he says, "Every year there's a tradition, and I'm going to bring up the worst of the worst. I'm going to bring Barabbas. He's an insurrectionist. He's caused problems in the city. He's caused problems for the governor. He's caused problems for everybody. He's a murderer. I'm going to bring him up. Surely they won't pick him over Jesus." And you know, when they bring him out, I love in the movie The Passion of Christ. I don't love it, but I mean, it's awesome. Do you remember how Barabbas looked at Jesus? In the movie, if you hadn't paid any attention, go back when you watched the movie and watch how Barabbas looks at Jesus. I mean, that the guy that played Barabbas should have got an Academy Award. But they, what do? They yell, "Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Let his blood be on us." Scripture says that that's what's supposed to happen. Jesus came to fulfill Scripture. He came because he had to die or we could not live. So he went along with it. He allowed all this to happen. He could have stopped it at any moment. But I want you to think about this. Because of you and me, he didn't. That blows my mind that somebody could love me that much to go through half of what he went through. They take him, they embarrass him, they strip his clothes off and they gamble for his clothes and they beat him. They scourge him, and a scourging is when they take, it's a wooden handle that's got 12 strips of leather on it. And those strips of leather have glass. They have metal. And if you add that up, they hit him 39 times, 39 save one. They hit him 39 times. That's 468 lashes. And he took that for us. The Bible says, by his stripes we're healed. You know what kept Jesus going when he was getting beat? I believe he could see us. I believe he could see all those that are healed. I believe he could see what his stripes were going to do for us. The blood that he was shedding was for our salvation. That blood is like Mary cleaned up in the movie. That blood was for our salvation. It was for us. It wasn't for him. He was holy. He was sinless. He saved him. He died for us. He shed his blood for us. They took him from there and they put the crown of thorns on his head. He's already beaten. They took a reed and beat him. And they'd say, "Prophesy now. Tell us who hit you." And they would spit on him. They made fun of him. I can't even imagine. I mean, when my blood boils when I think about it. But I might have done the same thing. And they took him and they beat him. And then they put the crown of thorns on his head. And then they take him out and they make him start carrying his own cross. And because he'd been beaten so bad, if you study that out, he should have been beaten to death. People died. Many people died. Didn't even make it through the scourging. And Jesus was a man, and he carried his cross. And finally, they had Simon to help him carry the cross. And when they got to the cross, they nailed Jesus' feet and his hands to the cross. And they stuck him up on the cross in between two thieves. And as he hung there, they made fun of him. The soldiers made fun of him. They laughed at him. I told you a few minutes ago, they gambled for his clothes and stuff, and they made fun of him. And then they tried to give him vinegar, and they did all these things. But some of his followers, Mary Magdalene and Mary's mother and John, and some of them were standing around, and they was having to watch all this. His own mom was having to watch all this. And Jesus, being Jesus, two of the last things that he did was the thief. One of the thieves was making fun of him and laughing at him and saying, "You save others, save us and save yourself." And the other thief looked at him and said, "Man, we're up here because we deserve it. We deserve what we get. We deserve this. But this man's done nothing." And he looks over at Jesus. And I can't even imagine the suffering that Jesus was going through. And he looks over at Jesus. He said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And instead of Jesus thinking about himself, or what does Jesus do? Like he always does, thinking about somebody else. Jesus looks at him and said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Today you'll be with me in paradise." He didn't condemn him. He knew everything this man had done. He didn't condemn him. He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." That man's faith saved him on his cross. And then the last thing Jesus does right before he dies, he looks out at all of them. He says, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We look at this world as being so messed up. We do. It is. We look at things that's going on in this world, and to us it's like, oh man, can you imagine that Jesus, he still loves them. Jesus still loves this world. He still loves the murderer, the rapist, the child molester. He still loves them. He wants to save them. He died for them just like he did us. I mean, you know, I'm not living in sin, and I've got my life together, and I'm a pastor now. He loves them just as much as he loves me and you. The same torture he went through for me and you as Christians, he went through for the world. Those people that were looking at him, the soldiers is making fun of him and all that, he died for them. One of them come up at the very end after Jesus took his last breath, and he said, surely that was the Son of God. All through Jesus' ministry, up until now, he's came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came as a living sacrifice, knowing full well what he was going to go through. He prayed a prayer and he said, Father, glorify me now with the glory that I had with you from the very beginning. I think sometimes people just think Jesus was born. He's born in the flesh. He was, but he was God in the flesh. He left the splendor of heaven to come here to go through all the stuff that he went through just for us. And I want you to remember this. I know Sunday's coming, right? We know the end of the story. But there's a lot of people out there that don't. There's a lot of people you work with that don't. Oh, they've heard about God, and they've heard about Easter, and they've heard about this and that, but they don't know him like we do. And I believe if Jesus could come down, he could, but if he'd come down here physically right now, what would he tell us to do? What was the last thing he said to the disciples? Go and make disciples. We've been studying on that for probably a year or so. Go and make disciples. Because he don't want anybody to perish, but all come to repentance. I think sometimes because we live the life that we do, and we strive to pray and to do the things God calls us to do and come to church and serve and do all this. I think sometimes because we do that stuff, we really forget who we would be without him. Amen. I heard a man say today, basically his words was this: you're an awful arrogant person if you think you can live a Christian life without Jesus being a sinner. I don't want to be that way. I choose to humble myself before the Lord. I choose to repent of my sins. I choose to accept the sacrifice he made on Calvary. I choose to believe that he went in that grave. And he did die. They saw him die. They saw it. I'm going to talk about that Sunday. They saw it. But I also believe that he rose again. Over 514 eyewitnesses that we know of. 514 eyewitnesses that we know of saw him after the resurrection, after he died. In a court of law, it takes two witnesses. In the mouth of two. The Bible talks about the witnesses, the mouth of two witnesses, let it be established. 514 eyewitnesses that we know of. I'm convinced, I hope you are. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. I didn't want to do this to be doom and gloom, but I want you to think about what Jesus did for you. I want you to think about it the next time you complain that he asked you to do something. Help me, Jesus. The next time you feel like you, man, I got a sacrifice to do, think about what Jesus did for you. And think about your eternal reward that you're going to get one day. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And we thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done for us. God, I thank you that you sent Jesus, that you were willing to send Jesus to the cross. You literally had to turn your back on him because you can't look at sin. And he took the sin of the world. He took every sin, past, present, and future. Those that ask forgiveness of those sins, he paid for every single sin that could ever be committed. And we give you praise for that, Lord. Now, God, I just ask you to help us to remember. To remember what you've done. I ask you to help us to remember the sacrifice that you did, Jesus. The pain, the suffering, the torment, mental anguish, physical pain, the making fun of, when you never done anything wrong. Help us to remember that, Lord. And God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to tell others, to love others like Jesus loves us. The only way we can do that is through the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, thank you again. I know we know that Sunday's coming. We know that you rose. We have confidence and we're assured and convinced that you're at the right hand of the Father ever interceding for us. So we love you, Lord. And we thank you. You know, if you're in this room or if you're watching tonight and you're not where you're supposed to be with the Lord or you've never accepted the Lord, I want you to think about this. Everything that he went through, everything that he did, if you're not saved, if you're not walking in his will, if you're backsliding away from him, everything he did is for nothing. In your life, not ours, because we choose to walk in his favor and ask him to forgive us and to cleanse us. So if you're in that place, if you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord, please, I beg you. He loves you. He showed you. He's proven that he loves you. And all the thing you have to do is just call out on his name. Be sorry for your sins. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Tell him you want him not only to save you, but to be your Lord. And after you say that prayer and you say amen, you wipe yourself off and you walk out with your head held high as a king's kid. Because that's what you are. He bought you with a price. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You don't belong to this world. This world's not your home. We're just a passing through. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. The resurrection of the dead. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in our mortal bodies. Hallelujah. I want them to sing something for us. And I want you just to worship the Lord. If you don't know him, if you're backslidden, if you're cold and indifferent, now's the time just to give it to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you, and he will. He is faithful to do that. Thank you, Jesus.
I cast my mind.
Thank you, Jesus.
To Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me.
Yes.
I see his wounds. His hands, his feet.
Yes.
My Savior on that cursed tree.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
His body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, we will sing your praise, oh Lord, oh Lord our God. And then on the third at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise, oh Lord, oh Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise, oh Lord, oh Lord our God. He shall return in robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, we look upon Your face tonight, Lord. Into Your eyes of fire. And oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forever. Church, praise His name tonight. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise, oh Lord, oh Lord our God. Oh Lord, oh Lord our God. Oh Lord, oh Lord our God.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. God, I pray for Your people. I pray that as we go out, Lord, I pray that we would do what we say we're supposed to do and love those that others don't love. Reach those others demon reachable. Equip the saints to do the work of the gospel and be found faithful when You come back. Lord, let us remember, even if it brings tears, even if it hurts our heart, let us remember what You did for us. Don't ever let us forget the pain and agony that You went through to get us to Sunday. But Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. And we praise You for that, Lord. Bless Your people, Lord. We love them. We thank You, God, for what You're doing here at New Vision. Just continue to move. Move in others. churches this Sunday, Lord. May revival break out in Lincoln County this week, Lord. What greater day than on Easter Sunday for revival to break out, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, bless the pastors. Bless them, Lord. Let them preach with authority this week, Lord. Let them know that there's a lost and dying world, and we got to tell the truth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless them, Lord. Minister to them and give them the courage to speak truth Sunday morning in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give the Lord another hand. Hallelujah. I love you guys. I appreciate you. We'll see you Sunday morning. Amen. Come expecting. It's going to be awesome. Love you.